Edge Radio On Demand is made possible by Profile Coffee, located at 15 Portwalk Place in downtown Portsmouth, and online at ProfileCoffeeBar.com. Rediscover coffee at Profile Coffee.
All right, everybody. We are back. Thank you, everybody, for listening. It's been a great morning so far. The morning just keeps getting better as we get cool guests that come in here. Right now, we have a pretty cool guest, this guy, Terry Trainor, who is the producer of an upcoming movie that's going to be at the Exeter Chamber of Commerce Downtown Cinema event on June 23rd. And he also is the owner of Narrow Street Films, which is producing the movie. And Terry, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. It's awesome to be here.
Well, thank you. And you didn't have to wait too long out there, right?
No. I got to talk to Betty for quite a while.
Oh, Betty's great, right?
Aww. Nice lady. Yeah.
She let you, she'll let you in on all the breaking news. All the newspapers are right there. So if you picked up today's paper, you could have saw that a month ago, a guy was arrested at a Hampton Inn for exposing himself.
No kidding.
You heard about that.
Right. No, I didn't.
It happened a month ago, but it was in today's paper.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We were just talking
news
about
that. News
at
the that. Minute.
I guess he's going to go to court tomorrow. That was the,
okay.
It was kind of more of an update.
Yeah.
Yes.
Little, the headline was a little misleading, right, Maria? Because I thought it had just happened.
But like in the radio, you have to catch people's eye. So,
yes.
I mean, you can't just say update. You have to, what are you going to put on there that's going to catch the eye?
Maria was thought it had just happened at the Hampton Inn. So she was thinking of going down to the Hampton Inn and booking a night tonight just to see.
Was I?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not going to do that to you.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
I'm not going to hit the sound effect. I was going to hit the sound effect. We can't do that.
Oh, come on.
Look,
do it.
No.
It's back and forth.
We're
you got to have it.
We're here for Terry Trainor. And this movie was filmed. The one we're going to talk about today was shot in Portsmouth or all around the seacoast or just in Portsmouth?
Mainly in Portsmouth. We shot shot at Four Tree Island. We shot at Gillies. We shot at Prescott Park.
Wow.
Yeah. We had to have a lot of meetings with the town and the police officers and town officials, and they were really gracious. And I had meetings with the people who were in charge of Prescott Park, and they were after a lot of details, but they were easy to work with, I will say.
Yeah, and for people who are local, I mean, they're gonna recognize all these locations, which is really cool.
Yes, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And it was written and directed and by your sister, KJ Trainor.
Mm-hmm.
KJ Trainor. And she's in this movie as well?
Yeah, well, the funny thing is we're going to turn into a drinking game because Arnie plays a lot of extras in the background. So the amount of times you can see Arnie in the background in this film is pretty funny. But she mainly just directed the film. Didn't have any leading roles in it.
No, what do you say, Arnie?
I'm sorry. KJ is her pen name.
Oh.
I grew up knowing her as Arnie or Killarney. So anytime someone mentions KJ, I'm like, who the hell are you talking about?
Oh, okay.
So Killarney is her full name. We always called her Arnie.
Okay, Arnie.
Arnie,
okay, good.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I had to clarify that information just in case people were listening.
Yeah,
Arnie's in there. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Arnie? Okay.
Arnie, if you're listening, stick to one name, please. We're all getting confused.
So great. And this is a story. I've got a little synopsis here, which says when Portsmouth Police Detective Michael Lawrence is called in to investigate the mysterious death of a beloved music professor, Emma Gagnon.
Mm-hmm.
He isn't convinced that it's murder until someone breaks into Emma's office and another body turns up. Soon, Lawrence and his partner, Soam, am I saying that right?
Yes, Soam. Nicholas Soam.
Soam, find themselves drawn into a complex web involving a missing girl, a popular author, a driven student with a past, a drug ring, and a killer who will strike again. So, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
And it's called Michael Lawrence, The Season of Darkness, which will be June 23rd, 24th. It's an Exeter Chamber of Commerce downtown cinema event, which is going to be 2 days of movies, music, food, and fun. And it's tickets are $25 per person or $40 for both nights.
Yep.
And so it sounds like a really cool event. Now, is this, how did this come about? This is fiction, I take it.
Yes.
Okay, because if this person would strike again, I mean, I gotta get the newspaper on this.
Yeah, but I have a security guy outside. I don't know if you noticed that. Right,
there we go. All right, great. It sounds like the guy at the Hampton Inn. He'll strike again.
Yeah, he was, right. Yeah.
Or the guy at Rye Beach that was sunbathing nude. There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
But this, so how did this come about? Was this a book first?
No, this script was written about 10 years ago, and we had just finished our fifth film or something like that. And I said how I wanted to work on a drama, but I didn't want to write one. And so I remember the script my sister had written 10 years ago, and I said, "Hey, let's make this one." And so we went in and we updated it because it was modern based 10 years ago, but a lot has changed culturally in the past 10 years. So we had to go through a pretty major restructuring of the script. And there was a lot of things I wanted to do with this production. First, I wanted to do a full-blown drama. I usually just do like action and comedy. And so I wanted to team up with a town or a city. And so we picked Portsmouth. And we really wanted to do like a PBS feeling murder mystery. That's what we're big fans of that. Like Inspector Morse, Inspector Lewis, you know, that type of genre.
Yeah.
And so that was the purpose of this project. And it's funny because when I went to have the meetings with the town, I usually do action films and people getting shot or, you know, blown up or fighting or whatever. And I thought, okay, this would be easier to team up with the town because it's just a murder mystery. So there's no action. There's just a lot of drama and stuff. And I went and sat down with the police detective, the police chief, and he said, okay, so what are you doing in this scene? I said, well, this scene is a scene where, you know, cops are around. He goes, why? I said, well, because there was a murder that took place here. He goes, okay, and you need to film at this location. I said, why? He said, yeah, well, there was another body that was found here. He goes, okay, what about this location? Look, there's another body that's... I said, but really, this is not a violent movie.
just a lot of bodies.
I said, it's really not. I said, it's really just a drama. We just happen to need all these locations to find dead bodies. So
it was an
interesting process, but it's real easy to work with.
And were they helping you when you do a... Because I spent 7 years in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do a movie like this where you've got a detective, how are you learning about how detectives work, how cops work? If someone, you know, do the police help you out at all and say, this is procedure? Like, how do you learn all that stuff to be able to write that stuff and make it accurate?
Well, there's two ways you have to look at filmmaking. You have to look at, are you making it like a documentary or are you making it like a film realism? And so we said we're going more film realism. That's what this is based off of. I played one of the police detectives, so we had small interviews with police detectives, but we're looking at what are the rules of the genre we're creating. You can't say Lethal Weapon is a realistic cop film, but it's realistic in its world that Lethal Weapon has created.
Yep.
And that's where we went in. But the big thing was we had to have some courtroom scenes, so we called up a judge friend of mine down in Lawrence, and I asked him if he could go over the script and, you know...
That guy's busy.
That guy is very busy. And actually, but not busy enough to say, not too busy to say, hey, do you need someone to play the judge? I said, yeah. He says, well, I'll play the judge and I'll let you use my courtroom. So we ended up down in Lawrence in a courtroom for a positive reason.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then we had a couple of real Portsmouth police officers who wanted to play police officers and they came in the full uniform.
It helps. All that helps.
Little details like that. Yeah. And we asked them about how the forensics team worked. Those are some further details.
But, you know, I'll never forget, and not to make this about me, but this is my show.
It is your show.
Right. But there's a story where I had left to do stand-up in like 94, 95, 96. I stayed on as a part-time cop back at York County Sheriff's Office as a rural patrol deputy. So I was... All of a sudden, I get a call from the lieutenant, and he says, he called me Hollywood. He calls me, hey, Hollywood. He goes, I got something for you. He goes, I got a call. The show Unsolved Mysteries needs a deputy in a car and, you know, for an episode. They need a deputy for the episode. I go, oh, I'm going to be in the episode. And at this point, I'm just starting out. I'm like, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be in the episode, you know? So he goes, yeah, we'll send you down there. And I think I got my regular pay or whatever they paid, you know, to send me down there. So I get down there and before it starts, I'm just talking about, oh, they're going to have me use my real gun or are they going to give me a fake gun? Because this is a real gun, you know, that I'm wearing and all this. And then someone goes, oh, I don't think you're playing the cop.
Oh.
I go, I'm not? So then I'm thinking, you know what? They probably cast this older guy or this, you know, overweight cop or, you know, somebody that doesn't, they wanted him to look like he was a real Maine because it was a case that happened in Maine. So this real Maine guy. So all of a sudden I'm sitting there and who pulls up but my buddy Al Ducharme, who everyone confuses us for each other. We weigh the same complexion, same build, same everything. I'm like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
He goes, I'm playing a cop. I go, what about me? I go, I am a cop. I go, you're like, so now cut to, I have to go step by step and explain to him how to do this, how to do that, how to do everything. So I'm like showing him, ask him what he would do. So I'm telling him, no, this is how you want to do it. So I'm instructing him.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to get in it.
Oh.
And to this day, that's like just a funny story that made me think of that filmmaking and cops and all that stuff. So I didn't want to get sidetracked. We are here with Terry Trainer, who is the producer of the movie Michael Lawrence, The Season of Darkness. Which is, it's actually was written and directed by his sister, author and actor KJ Trainer, also known as Arnie.
Arnie, yes.
Arnie. And It's at the Exeter Chamber of Commerce Downtown Cinema Event, which is 2 days of movies, music, food, and fun, June 23rd and 24th. Tickets are only $25. That's where it's going to screen. And can you stick around a little bit after this break?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you stay around? All right, so we'll be right back with more right after this break, everybody.
Now, Epic Restaurant at the Exeter Inn features the finest alfresco dining available for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Epic Restaurant and Bar, located at the Exeter Inn, has the best patio in the Seacoast region. The beautiful patio at Epic Restaurant and Bar is open at 7 a.m., and the full bar is available immediately to cater to all your beverage and breakfast needs. The new summer menu is here, and the lobster roll is back. Monday and Wednesday night is live music from 5 to 8. Wednesday nights, there'll also be local brewers offering tastings from 5 to 8. See the complete list of events for Epic Restaurant at the Exeter Inn on their Facebook page. Epic Restaurant at the Exeter Inn. Reservations 603-772-5901. The Exeter Inn is located at 90 Front Street, Exeter, New Hampshire. And you can visit online at theexeterinn.com. Since 1973, the Collector's Eye has been one of the premier places for gifts, collectibles, and excellent antiques. Located in the historic 1800s barn inside the Stratum Circle on Route 33 and 108 in Stratum, the Collector's Eye is now starting its 44th year in business with a shopping experience and a cooperative of over 30 vendors all stocking their spaces with antiques, primitives, arts, retro items, and one-of-a-kind gifts. Stop by and meet the new owners and browse the two-story shop, the Collector's Eye, in the Stratum Circle, Stratum, the most unique gift shop in the area. Please visit 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5, and Sundays from noon to 5. Contact the Collector's Eye at 603-772-6205 or visit and browse online at collectorseye.com. The Collector's Eye, Stratum, the Seacoast's premier antique shop.
Justin McKinney, small town famous.
Dad, you're on the air. Alright, you're on the air, Dad.
Right on.
People don't know what you're talking about. You just say, oh, they look good. You don't know, Maria's in the studio. No one knows what's going on. You can't just say, oh, they look good. Right? I mean, I don't know. It's crazy. I'm not going to hit that.
Blueberry muffins.
I just, there's so
you
many.
You get close to it. I get close. Don't do it.
I get close to hitting it, and I'm like, I don't need to do that. But it's too predictable. It's too predictable to hit it there. We're back here in the studio with Terry Trainer, who is a producer with Narrow Street Films, the local film company that has this movie that it shot here in Portsmouth. All kinds of, if you check out this movie, you'll recognize a lot of the locations. Stuff like Gillies and Prescott Park and what's the tree island? It's three
Four Tree Island.
Four Tree. Yeah, I thought it was three trees. And I believe Dad, didn't you used to live there when you were homeless on
I
that
did
island?
For a while. Quite a while.
He did.
I enjoyed it. It was very nice. Yeah.
He did live on that island for a little while.
No,
so
really?
My dad
Pretty island.
My dad probably Dad, you want to see this movie probably now.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Like I said, I met him on the island when he was filming it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to see you here.
No, oh, you actually met Terry.
Yeah, I didn't know he was going to be here today, but I just said hi.
Do you remember him?
I do. I do now, because you mentioned you ran the shack. I'm like, oh, yes, because I was trying to find a place to park that day, I think, and I parked near, you know, near there. But,
Wow, that's weird. You guys know each other. And during the break, Terry was also saying he's a fan of mine. He said that he used to listen to my stand-up.
Right? I did, yeah. Which, I used to listen to your stand-up.
As we were aware, and Maria even pointed out, you said used to listen. So it's I'm glad. I got to put some new stuff on.
You do have to put some new stuff. You talked about how insane New Hampshire people are, and that was like my favorite part.
2005, that was put out on 2005.
I was
12 years ago.
Right. I'm a full-blooded New Hampshire kid, and so that I thought that was the best thing in the whole
world. Well, we got the Mass girl sitting over there.
Oh,
so.
What part of Mass?
Doesn't matter.
North Shore.
North Shore. Oh, okay. All
right. Nice.
What's wrong with the North Shore?
No, nothing wrong with the North Shore. It's just,
Mass people, they come up here. You know what they do? They come up here. They ruin everything. They come up here.
They come close.
Oh, they marry the guys up here. Who did that? Oh, my wife. That's right. No, she's great, my wife. She used to listen to my stand-up, too.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Things are going great.
Yeah.
So, so anyway, we've got this this movie that's happening, which is it's a drama. Is there any comedy at all in this?
Because there's humor in it.
There's a little bit of humor, but
right. But it's more along the lines of just a. I really wanted to do a whodunit. That's what I really wanted to see.
What would a similar type movie, like what would you say if you, was there any influences in this that you tried to follow? You mentioned the PBS documentary.
Inspector Morse. About the biggest. Yeah. Inspector Morse, Inspector Lewis, that was a pretty big influence on the series.
And is it a like 90-minute, 100-minute movie?
It's a two-hour long movie.
It's a two-hour-long movie. Yep. Knowing my math, that's 120 minutes.
120 minutes, yeah.
Wow, you're good.
60
Dustin.
And 60.
60
yeah.
and 60 is 120, yeah. Yeah. I had to think about it, too. I almost took my shoes off. Yeah, it's a...
I gotta hold on a second. I gotta write a note down right there. Okay, we gotta grab that sound bite, too. Okay. Yeah, hold on a second. Hold on. You're good. You heard it, right? Hold on. That was at 10:19.
There you go.
So, here we go.
Please call.
So, we basically, we're here talking about, because this is an event going on, and Terry would love for people to come and see this movie.
Absolutely.
And what are the plans after it's at the Exeter Chamber of Commerce Downtown Cinema event, which, by the way, where is the cinema event?
It's at the... historical town hall at 10 Front Street, right across from the bandstand.
So it's across the street from the Ioka, kind of
across the street.
Yeah,
from
kind of
yeah.
right in that area. Mm-hmm. Okay. And did you ever go into the Ioka?
I did. I went to see Ratatouille there in the screening room.
Oh, Ratatouille.
That's a good movie. Yeah.
That was a great movie.
Yeah. Yes, and they shut it down soon after. We tried having screenings on other films we've done. We tried having screenings there. But it was so sadly in disrepair at this point. My mom keeps saying, Terry, you should buy the Ioka. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's easy.
What money, Mom?
Yeah,
but
yeah. Yeah. All the money you're going to make off this film.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. I said I would love to, you know. But no.
I've had someone tell me I should buy that, too. What is it with people thinking that everyone's got money to buy
theaters?
I don't know.
I mean, if we combined, we probably still couldn't buy it, more likely.
No way could we buy it.
I mean, you're kind of putting it out there, driving your BMW.
Well, I don't think. Yeah,
flashy cars.
There we go.
It's used. And I only got it because I wanted to be in a movie. Someone's going to call me up. It'll be in a movie. Shoot it. Right now, it's been on Facebook Live. That's about it.
I drive a Suburban. You've seen the big blues, big blue.
Well, you
Suburban.
Need it for all your gear.
I do. Yeah,
you need that.
Yeah.
And now, do you know any of these other, like Mark Dole? Do you know Mark Dole? I've done some stuff with Mark Dole over the years. And
can I ask you a question? You're a comedian, okay?
I don't know. You used to be a fan.
No. Let me ask you this. So you tell people you're a comedian. I have no doubt someone says, well, do you know this comedian? Or do you know this comedian?
Yes,
do you know that comedian?
They do.
It's the same thing as being a filmmaker. There's a million filmmakers around here, but nobody wants to talk to us, each other.
Really?
So, yeah. And I'm hoping with this event, Downtown Cinema, to try and get filmmakers to start like actually chit-chatting with each other. But they don't want to talk. So every time I meet someone...
Is it a little bit of a competition thing?
I don't know.
Like, it's like, I mean, how many, there's always room for a story to be told, and there's always room for...
That's my theory.
Yeah, something to be done, yeah.
I mean, that's I think it could be that.
I'm just thinking because it's a small, it is such a small community here.
Right.
That there's a handful of guys, and the New Hampshire Film Festival goes on here in Portsmouth.
Yep.
Are you going to submit to that?
Probably not. No.
Okay. And is it because it's the length of it, and they look for more shorts?
I've submitted stuff to them before, and I've never gotten anything accepted. At least I don't think, because they never talk to me afterwards. So it's like weird. I'll send like all this information, send the money in, and then I just like don't hear about them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Well, you made it here local, and it's got a lot of Portsmouth stuff in it. So
maybe
this will open up some doors.
That'd be cool.
Because is that kind of the plan to then take it to other festivals, right? I imagine.
We haven't really fully decided. We know we're going to have a screening in Portsmouth because Portsmouth is so easy to work with. We're definitely going to have another screening after this in Portsmouth. Whether or not we're going to sell it on its own afterwards or try distributing it on our own, which we've done with other films.
Yeah, you can distribute on your own. You can try to get like Hulu or Netflix or CISO, right?
Oh,
there's a lot of platforms out there, right?
Yeah, a lot of platforms, a lot of avenues that you can do it with. It just got to pick one. The film festival route is an interesting. It's interesting because it doesn't really always take you many places.
No. You're right. I mean, it's a frustrating thing. And, the argument is you do the short film and you take it to, it can win awards and go to 100 festivals, but it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't, really.
It's short. So it is tough. I mean, I'm in a similar boat. I mean, we did a, We did a web series called Hosed about a volunteer fire department years ago, and that was seen by Dennis Leary and IFC, the Independent Film Channel, bought it. I wrote the pilot for it, but it just didn't get picked up. I mean, but it was like, that was just off this little web series, but then we wanted to make it into a full feature, but we had to raise the money, and we figured, I think we were trying to raise $175,000, I think we needed, which was for to do 90 minutes, which...
Isn't much at all.
And that brings me to what was the budget on this one that you did? A 2-hour long movie. I mean, what kind of... Now, I imagine, are you also an editor?
Oh, yeah. I'm the editor, director of photography.
All right. So you got to wear many hats, and you got to put a lot of your time into this. And that's why you're able to probably do it, because to do a 2-hour movie would cost a ton of money.
Well, I've done my first 2-hour movie I did about 7 years ago, and then I did a couple follow-up ones after that. So I'd sort of experienced in making, getting films done. And someone said, you know, there's low budget films. I said, you know, low budget, it would be like a plateau I'd love to reach. I said, we come from a no budget film.
Yes.
And, but I do video production for a living, and I happen to have, you know, now I have all the equipment that I need invested. But if you don't count in time, if you don't count the hours put in, and if you don't count in the miles put in, probably somewhere along the lines, it would cost me about, to me and Arnie, maybe about $1,000 to make it.
$1,000?
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cheap.
To make it, that's unbelievable. Yeah. But if you factored your time
of
your
gracious.
Editing,
right,
yeah. I mean, that's what you're not factoring.
No,
you're doing
that's what I said. If you don't factor in that, straight up cost.
And look, let's be honest. This passion thing is great. You love to do it. It's fun. But you need to get paid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the end game is you want to get to the point where this stuff, you can make some money off this.
Right.
Because, I mean, we all have hobbies and things we like to do, but you can't cut into... You know, a job. It's a job. It becomes a job.
Right. But I mean, the other thing is too, when you're working with certain crew members, real creativity doesn't come from the freedom to do whatever the heck you want. That's not real creativity. Real creativity says you're stuck in this spot, and this is all you got to work with. So what can I do with this?
Yeah.
You know, and that to me, I said, all right. Well, I wanted to make films. I wanted to make feature films, and I didn't have the budget for the first script that I've written. And the guy said, well, write a different script. And so I wrote a smaller script.
Yes.
And then I said, well, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. But I got this. I have this house I can use. I got this car I can use. I got these actors I can use. So how can I create something interesting with this? And that's been what I've been doing for years. And you can spend a lot of money on films. And like most people, most filmmakers, they go broke in the process of doing this. And so I said, look, I can't afford to go broke.
You can't afford it. And and you could at least probably say at $1,000, you could probably say there's a chance that this film makes money.
Oh, yeah. That's not
you know, you sell, whether you put it on a DVD or the download or whatever, you sell it to your friends, everyone else. I mean, you can get that money back. You won't get the time back.
No, but it's the time's worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
But I'm trying to think of what movie just bombed at the box office this summer. There was one movie. What's the big movie? Is it the Johnny Depp one or the.
No, you know that actually.
Oh, Baywatch.
Did that? That didn't bomb, did it?
It didn't bomb. Oh, maybe
no,
it did
no,
great.
No, that didn't. No, the that female comedian that you went to her house. What's her name again?
Amy Schumer.
Oh. Her
that movie did great.
No, her new movie that came out
Snatched
didn't do as well. It was
but it made money. It's going to make money. Yeah, it'll make money. I'm talking like a flop.
Oh, you mean complete flop?
I'm talking about like wasn't there just a big one that was like the big disappointment that was like a high big star the Tom Cruise one?
Oh, the Mummy.
Mummy?
Yes.
The Mummy.
Really?
Is that the one?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the new movie. Did it flop? Well?
Not domestically. Maybe international. It did, but and Maria here has done a bunch of PA work, so she's worked on film sets and stuff like that.
I've also been an extra on films as well.
Been an extra. So if you need people, she'd love to do it.
Always looking for new talented crew members.
She's talented. She's multi-talented. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the things that you know she doesn't really like to talk about, but I like to bring it up every once in a while.
I do men better.
I mean, if she had to pick,
you know, I saw that like a mile away coming. I could see your arm moving in slow motion, getting ready to set it up.
I know. There's no way to sneak it.
No,
there's
you're just
no
not
way to sneak
quick
it.
Enough.
But Maria, not to get the wrong idea when I put that out there, because she's in a relationship, serious relationship, live-in boyfriend for 6 years. And so,
I did cheat last night.
And she's very faithful. just don't get any idea. I don't know if you're one of those sleazy producers.
Not
types,
that type
you know?
Of character, no.
So, this is it is fascinating how you can do so much with so little. I really want to check it out. Is the only way I can see it is to go to this event on the 23rd, 24th.
That'd be the way I'd want you to see it.
Yeah.
The other way would be follow me home, mug me, and then, you know, invade my computer.
No, I don't want to do that.
I'd rather
pay the $25.
Yeah, but I'd probably just let you in, too, if you knocked on the door.
Yeah, I would like to see it because I'm kind of amazed at what you're able to do with that money.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's...
You know?
Thank you.
We said, I mean, with the time, obviously, this was a month?
We shot it in 9 days.
Oh,
the whole film in nine days. We had one day where we were told that this location we needed... they said we're only going to give us 7 hours to do it. And we had 27 pages to do.
God, that's not a lot of time.
No. So we had to... Right. But at this point, we've been doing this for close to 10 years, and so I've been on so many other sets, and most of the time, I'm crawling the walls in someone else's set because there's just a lot of lollygagging, a lot of doing nothing. And
you're doing a lot of one take stuff,
right? And so, and they'll film things and they'll do like, let's just do 30 takes of this. You know, when you edit it, you're only going to use one friggin' take.
Yes.
So why are you bothering taking 30 takes? So we would do this film. We rehearsed it. We had read throughs. We had we cast it very specifically. And then we said, okay, well, we're going to do this. If we get it in two takes, we're moving on because we've only got a certain amount of time to do this in. And when you're on a budget like that, that's what you have to look at. You don't have all the time in the world. So you have to bring it up and, you have to bring your A game pretty much all the time. And it was exhausting days. And we filmed it last summer, and it was 90 degrees pretty much every day. And I had to walk around in a three-piece suit throughout pretty much the entire film. And so between takes, me and Dan DeVito, who plays Michael Lawrence, we were taking off our jackets and trying to keep cool so we weren't sweating through the clothing. And so doesn't look it when you're watching the film, but we are like dying of heat exertion filming this movie.
Wow.
I'm so curious now to see this. I'm so curious to see this film. And it's going to be June 23rd, 24th in Exeter. And I'll give the details before Terry gets out of here. But Terry, what is your what's your background? Did you go to school for this?
Nope.
Self-taught?
Yeah. Yes, self-taught. Come from a family of storytellers.
Yep.
We're Irish, so we always have a story to tell. Terrence James Traynor doesn't get too much more Irish than that. So my parents used to make films with us when we were kids, and then my sister Killarney, when I was like 12, would make these
movies. We call her Arnie.
Or KJ. Bloody hell, God.
KJ.
So
there's a bar in Newmarket named after her.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
KJ's.
I'll have to tell her about
it's called
that.
KJ's.
Yeah, okay, yeah. She would make little films with us when I was like 12, and then sometime later I started doing it and just kept on doing it ever since.
And how many who's your director of photography? Like, who's the working the camera? You actually behind the camera?
I'm behind in front of the camera. I'm doing the director of photography for this.
Because you had a staff. You had, like, how did you get people to do this for pretty much donate their time? Is everyone just working on this?
Someone said you have to feed people on the set, and I'm like, no. You don't. I said, why? I said, if you're a grown adult, you should be able to feed yourself. I said, and I have a hard enough time feeding myself. I got to work. So why should I be feeding you?
Wow.
Sounds
so
like
you
a great work environment.
It sounds like
the union would be like,
well,
what is this going on?
You only want people on the set who want to make the movie. And my theory is we have only a little bit of time.
Yeah.
So why would you bother working on this film if you don't want to make this film? So the crew members, I said, look, if you don't like the script, don't be here.
Yeah.
You know, there are people out here who wanted to work on this script and wanted to work on that story. And so we passed the script out to people, and me and Arnie were always shocked when someone said, oh, yeah, I like this film. I want to be a part of this. And that's the people you want to work with, the people who want to be there.
Right.
Not someone who's thinking they're doing you a favor, not someone who's there for a free meal.
Well,
if you want a free meal, there's soup kitchens. It's not Narrow Street Films.
My dad was a big fan of those for many years, Dad, the soup kitchen, right?
No, but I mean, they're great for that, but that's not Narrow Street Films.
Terry, I'll tell you one thing which is amazing is that making a film is like doing a painting,
and you're
taking scenes in a painting and you're putting the feeling into each scene instead of wasting all our time like the government does with a lot of things they do today.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
True. All right. Yeah. Well, that's, yes, he brings up a very good point. I was about to say that you took the words right out of my mouth, Dad. I was about to say the exact same thing.
Stealing his thunder, Dad. Way to go.
but I will say you were in luck because Maria travels her own food all the time, so you can probably get...
Well, she did offer us muffins, and thank you. I haven't had a chance to try. Yeah.
Well, you've been talking.
Well,
it's all right.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, everybody, check this out. I know I'm going to try to check this out. It is Narrow Street Films' new movie. It's called Michael Lawrence, The Season of Darkness. It's going to be part of the Exeter Chamber of Commerce Downtown Cinema event. It's 2 days of movies, music, food, and fun. 6 to 7, there's food, music, and drinks, and pre-film discussion. 7 p.m., the movie showing. Afterwards, there's music. It's $25 per person, $40 for both nights of this. It's written and directed by Terry's sister, KJ Arnie Trainer, the author and actor in it. So thank you so much for coming in today, Terry, and we'll get the word out, and I hope it's a success, and I wish you all the best.